Job, the book of Job, chapter number one, book of Job, chapter number one. I'll go ahead and apologize ahead of time before we even get in this. Our hearts twisted, our minds twisted, so whatever I mess up, I'll take full responsibility for that, and whatever part might be good, you give God all glory for that. And so, Bible says in the book of Job, let me turn this thing on here. Book of Job, chapter number one. Job, chapter number one. We'll begin reading in verse number one. It said, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep, and 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. Verse 6 says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? You can be seated. I'd like to maybe give you my heart, and I'll do my best to preach. This is not just, I might do more teaching and preaching, I guess. I don't know. I know that you've prayed for us today, and I appreciate that. And I want to preface this by a passage of Scripture over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. The Bible says in verse 2, you can just listen, but the Apostle Paul says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And so Paul, as he writes to the Corinthian church, he said, my desire is that I might present this entire church to Christ one day as a chaste virgin. In other words, Paul is saying that his desire was that when the day of the Lord came, that great day at the judgment seat of Christ, I believe based upon that verse that there'll be a time that we'll stand collectively as a church body, that the Apostle Paul stands and he says, my earnest desire is to present you as a chaste virgin that day. In other words, not having any other husband, but being pure and that unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to understand that God's been dealing in their heart for some time, and it seemed like maybe every time I'd get away from it, God would do something else to prick my heart and make sure that he brought me back. Let me say this so that everybody gets on the same page tonight. What I know about God is that God is sitting on the throne. Everybody say amen. And what I know about him is he's not just sitting on the throne for naught, but that he is trying to reach people. Amen. And the Bible says that he is seeking those that are lost. The Bible says the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. And so the question is, friend, how does God seek and save those that are lost? How does he reach the people that are in the world? He does that through the local body of believers. It is through our church. It is through the churches that are surrounding the area that God, in his divine plan and through his sovereign nature, has chosen by the means and the foolishness of preaching and through the body of believers of a local assembly church to reach those that are without. Amen. And so I thought about this passage, and I was thinking about this for some time. But my responsibility as the pastor of this church is to get us in between where God is
and who it is God is trying to reach. You understand what I'm saying? If we know God works through a body of believers, and then it is my responsibility to situate our church as the church that God uses as a means and to reach the law. And so the first question we got to ask ourselves is, why are we really here? I want you to notice in this passage in the book of Job, and God could have just said and that Job was a wealthy man, and God could have just said and that Job was the greatest man in all the East, but that's not what he does. He takes time to go through literally every single thing that Job owns. Now the question that I've got is simply this: why is it that God spends all that time in his word looking out and telling you and telling me what it is that Job has accumulated? Why is it that God would spend that much time saying that this is what Job had? Might I say this to you? First of all, what I know about this passage is that Job is a wealthy man. He's wealthy beyond compare. Now the question is, friend, why is he so wealthy? You ever wondered that? I mean, you ever looked at Job and wondered, why is Job blessed more than anybody else in the world? Let's just all stop for a minute and recognize one thing. The people I'm preaching to tonight, you're some of the most blessed people on the face of this planet. I'm telling you, whether we realize it or whether we not, we're blessed beyond absolute measure. I mean, you're blessed when you get up, you're blessed when you lay down, and not a person in this room did not have clothes for their back and did not have shoes on their feet and did not have a King James Bible in their home. I'm telling you, dear God, you are blessed well beyond measure. Now with saying that, I want you to notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 12. In the Bible, in Luke chapter number 12, this is what the scripture says in verse 48. He says, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And so here's the question tonight. What is it about you that God blessed you above measure while somebody else is doing without? I mean, now I realize that you've prayed, and I hope that you'll open your heart to the Word of God tonight, but I'm asking you from sincerity, what is it about you, and why would God choose to bless you? I mean, now listen, friend, it didn't happen by chance. Let's all agree to that. Amen. And God doesn't just pick people at random and choose to bless them. And so if you have been blessed and God has given you so much, don't think that comes without a price tonight. Amen. Bible says of him that's been given much. And you say, preacher, now I've heard Baptists use that as an excuse my whole life as to reason why they ought not get close to God or whatever. They say, well, you know, of him that's been given much, much will be required. I want you to know this tonight. If you're under the sound of my voice, much has been given you, friend. And now if you choose to ignore your Bible and you choose to neglect your prayer time, that's between you and God. And but God has given his precious darling son. He's preserved him in a Bible that you have. And if you ain't got one, we'll put one in your hand. He's given you divine authority to pray to the God of all heaven. And much has been given you. I want you to understand there'll not be not one person in this church tonight that'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day without the very fact that much has been given you. Now, if much has been given you, and then by very nature, the next part, much shall be required of you. And now when we preach it like that, that seems like maybe a little bondage, but I want to share this with you. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 116, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The question is, friend, how can you look around and see how blessed you are on every side without wanting to do something for God? I mean, how can you get up in the morning and take that breath of air, look back over your life, and see how good God's been to you without you wanting to do something for the God of all? all glory. And now notice the Bible says that we notice that as we have his wealth, but then we also find that there is in this passage his worship. In chapter 1, verse number 20, it says, then Job arose and he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down the ground and he worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. And might I just say tonight, and that part of the reason that God used Job, and God had given Job so much wealth, and God had blessed Job on every hand, is the fact that no matter what Job had accumulated, he understood it was just stuff for him. It was temporary trash, and he was not going to trade that for the true treasures of heaven. He was going to make sure that no matter what came in his life, and nor what went, his substance was not, or all that a man has was not built up in his substance. He was not dictated or defined by what he possessed, but he was defined by who he possessed. He said, I know in this world I came in naked, and one of these days, friend, I'm going to leave back out naked. But one thing I'm still going to have, I say, thank God, I'm still going to have, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me say to you, has God give him this wealth? And the question that I have is why? Oh, why did God bless you? Why did God bless? Listen, why has God blessed this church? You understand now, may some of you that you're new, and I'm going to be honest with you, has God sends people through here? And the question that keeps passing through my mind is, God, what is it that you want us to do? And God, why is it that you're sending people here? He's not sending people to our church just to fill up a church. God's not interested in that, friend. God's not interested in numbers. God's not interested in all those things. But God has placed you here sovereignly for a purpose. Open your Bible to Job 29. Job's going to answer his own thing. And this is the passage that I really want, to spend time with, that God's dealt in my heart about so much. So we find that Job had all of these wealth, and God had all of these things. In verse number 3 of Job 29, he says, when darkness shined, when his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. We understand Job had the presence of God based on that verse. He said in verse number 4, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. We understand based on that verse, he had not just the presence of God, but he had the power of God. And then we see in verse number 6, notice what he says. He says, when I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of oil. And so what is it and that Job is saying? Essentially, Job was saying that he is so rich and he had so much money, and that, dear God, for all of his cows that were in the field, and they produced so much milk and so much butter, and that he literally could not walk in anywhere on his property and without walking on top of money. He said, if I go over to a rock, that rock pours out oil unto me. In other words, he said, I ain't never wanted for not one thing. Amen. That's who this man is. Now I want to know why. That's the most popular question at the Sexton household these days. Oh, and ask why about everything. So why? Notice what he says in verse 12. He says, because. Because. Now I want you to pay particular attention to what he says next. This is the whole reason I wanted you here tonight. He said, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. I caused the widow's heart to sing, I'm there for joy. I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was to the blind, eyes to the blind, and feet I was to the lame, and I was a father there to the poor. Now this is what the Bible said. See, God didn't just pick Job out of random to bless him. But Job had a heart that he wanted to do something for the God of all glory. Now notice what the first thing he said. I delivered the poor. And so as you think about this passage, and Job sitting up here probably in a mansion that when you pass by you saw he is the greatest man in all the East. But that's not the only reason that he sat there, Richard. He'd go by. And when he heard that he had a neighbor on down the street that was poor, and maybe they did not have what they needed in order to put clothes on their back or in order to pay their bills or whatever the case may be, I can see Job making his journey out throughout the community and knocking on the door and saying, I heard you don't have what you need, and God's been real good to me. Might I help you with the need that you have? Might I say to you, friend, God did not establish a church to see how big our treasury can get, but God established the church to be a blessing to those that are on the outside. And when we find this passage, God had given Job what he had first because he went to the poor. Now notice what the Bible said. He said, and the fatherless. And so not only did Job go to those that were poor and did not have, but Job as a dad made it a point to go to those that had no dad and do his best to be a father to them. You ever stopped and wondered why it is you grow up in the house you grew up in and somebody down the street grew up in a drug addicted house? You ever wondered why? Ever wondered why somebody seemed like they got a good daddy and you got stuck with whatever you got? Amen. Anybody ever wonder, why? So listen, let's all agree that if you had that in your home, now I know everybody in this room did not have that, amen? I'm not ignorant. I know that not everybody under the sound of my voice had that. And some of you, even though you didn't have that, that's the reason why you've purposed in your heart that you're going to be everything you can to your kids, because you know what you did not have when you was at home. But what about all those other kids? Might I tell you that there is a voice that I can hear in my mind and it still haunts me to this day. And friends, some of you will remember that, but there was a little young man set back in the back of this church, and that's literally within a rock's throw a distance of this church. And at Bible school, he was so excited he'd come sit on the porch and wait for it to happen. He said, preacher, I'm going to be at church every day. Every day I'm going to be there. Preacher, I can't wait to get back to church. But he ain't got a daddy that's willing to bring him, or he ain't got a mommy that's willing to bring him. And so what's the purpose of Job? Whenever Job saw somebody in that condition, he didn't say, well, let's pray for them. He said, I am the person that can go out and make a difference in that child's life. And I'm telling you, bless God, it's time that the church of God stand up and understand the purpose why we're here is to make a difference. Amen. So he said, there's the poor, there's the fatherless. Now I like this. Him that had none to help. He said, there's some folks, they ain't had nobody to help them. Didn't know no better. And so Job said, if I knew there's somebody that didn't have nobody else to help them, he said, boy, I was going to go help them. I was going to take from what God had given me and do my best to be a help to them. You want to know who those that are none to help are? It's those that are in Russia and those that are in Africa and those that are in Greenland and those that are in Honduras and those that are all around these parts that they don't even know what the gospel light is. There's absolute nobody to help them. You want to know why missions ought to be important to every person in this church today? Is because, bless God, there are some out there that ain't got nobody to help them. I mean, they ain't got nobody to help them. And they ain't no good churches sitting around. They can't pick from 50 churches to go to. They ain't got no light in the place. And Job said, if I found out that there was somebody that didn't have nobody to help them, I'd go to that place. Notice he goes on to say, and I like this passage in verse number 13. He said, I was the blessing of him and that was ready to perish came upon me. You know what Job said? I heard there's somebody dying in my neighborhood. Somebody sick. I didn't sit and wait and say, boy, I'm glad God's been good to me. He said, I went to where they was at.
I ask you this. Let's be Judgment Day sober. Has God been good to you?
Amen.
And if He has, what have you done with what God's given you? Have you helped any of those poor? Any of those fatherless? Helped any of those that lay dying that need somebody to come by and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as they take their last dying breath? I mean, friend, listen, I don't know. All I can tell you is, hey, look here. God's dealt in my heart about this message for a long, long time. And what I find in this passage, not only that, but he goes on to say, I was eyes to the blind. Can you imagine Job walking down the street where a little blind boy was at? Job came knocking on the door. He said, hey, listen, I know you can't see. I know you can't get what you need. But I'll tell you what, I'll stand right here. You just tell me what you need. And if I can be your eyes, I'll be your eyes. Amen. He said, I was feet to the lame. He'd go over to somebody's house that he knew could not get around. This great man, the man that was the greatest in all the East, the man that had more wealth than anybody, if he knew there was somebody that could not properly get up and down, he'd go knock on the door. And I can see probably in modern day, can you imagine him knocking on somebody's door and saying, hey, I know you can't get around to get your groceries. How about my feet are good out from under? Hey, listen, it'd do us all good, amen, hey, to go find somebody that can't get around and do what we can to help them. It'd do some teenage boys and girls good to go find a yard for some old saint of God and they can't get up and down anymore and mow their yard or go get their groceries or do something like that for them. I'm telling you, if God's been good to you, He's not been good to you for no reason. He expects that you render something to Him for His goodness. He expects that we do something. Now let's be real sure about this. Jesus ain't asking you to do anything that He was not willing to do. Amen. First thing I find in this passage is He said, because I delivered the poor that cried, thank God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I sure am glad whenever I was poor and needy and cried out to the God of all glory. I'm glad there was a Savior that came from heaven and lifted me up out of the pits of hell and delivered my soul. He had all the wealth of glory for it and could have kept it treasured up to Himself. But now thanks be to His name. A poor beggar that ought to go to hell and possesses that treasure in an earthen vessel. I say, thank God. Amen. Then He said He delivered the fatherless. Can you imagine the Lord, only person I find in this passage, is over there in Luke chapter 8, that woman with an issue of blood. I preached on it not long ago, but He uses a peculiar term when He looks at her and He says, daughter. You know what He's saying? You ain't got a daddy, but from this day forward, all the way out of this place, He said, I'm going to be your daddy from this point forward. Oh, what a lovely day that it is when the God of all glory comes by your way and you ain't got a father. You can't call Him Father God. And yet despite all of those things, He calls you son and He calls you daughter. And dear God, I'm telling you, He's done the notice the Bible said and that He came to him and that had none to help him. Well, I ought to preach on that for a while and thank God the Lord Jesus Christ when there was no way you could help yourself. I mean, no way you could help yourself get out of the hell you was in. Get out of the curse and the condemnation. And the God of all glory came down and helped you right where you was at. And then He said, I was eyes to the blind. And thank God. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ helped me see, aren't you? I thought about when you find that He said, I was feet to the lame. And thank God He set me up on a rock, friend, and established my goings. Amen. I'm
telling you, everything he said is what he expects of us. So now the question is this. As a church, what do we do in this church to help the poor? If that's what the Bible says, that's what Christ done. God's blessed us all in this place beyond measure. The question is, what have we done to help the poor? See, this is what's in my heart. I see some people that God cares deeply about in Matthew chapter 26. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you came to me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Is that right? That's what it says. Everybody, that's what the book says. So the question is, what do we do? Now I stop and I say this, and I want you to know this. I believe I pastor the best people on the face of this planet. And I can say that without hesitation. I mean that from the depths of my heart. But I'm looking at the judgment seat of Christ. And the reason that Job was blessed the way he was blessed was because God expected him to do something with what he gave him. So, let me throw some things out that I feel like we ought to do. I feel like I need to preach a little more before I do that. Let's notice what he goes on to say. In verse 16, you say, well, I don't know any of those people, but the Bible says in verse 16, I was a father to the poor. And then notice this. He said, and the cause which I knew not, I searched it out. What Job says is this. If I knew there was a way that I could take what God had done for me and find out a way that I could be a blessing to somebody else, and I hadn't heard that there was any need. In other words, Job said, I began to inquire. I wanted to find out if there's anybody I could help. There's more to this thing coming to church and shouting her out. I believe God's blessed us with a good church. He's blessed us with a good building. He's blessed us with good people. But as each one of you just come in this place, same question's been on my heart. Same thing goes running through my mind. What are we going to do with these people? We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And I want to know that we've done what God says to do. And so there's some things that I think we ought to do. I think first of all, boy, when we talk about those that are sick, there's a nursing home full of folks. You listening to me? That their families have forgotten about them. They've been shut off in a room. I know Brother Waters goes and he preaches down there, but there's more to it than just preaching to. There's some of those folks that just need some people that's got the good word of God to go in there and share it with their heart and encourage them where they're at. Would you do that? Would you? What about at Jamestown Regional Hospital? There's rooms up and down those floors. Boy, sick people that need somebody to come pray with them. Y'all with me? In this very community, there are people that go without food. I know come Christmas time, folks give out Christmas baskets. Boy, what a blessing that is. But what about the other 11 months of the year? See, the thing is at some point in time, we got to determine why we're really here. Are we here just to see how much fun we can have and how much we can shout it out? How much treasures we can store up?
Or did God give us everything He's given us for the sole purpose that we might be a help to somebody else out there? All I can tell you is this, I've shared that with you before. Whenever Phyllis and Rodney and I got to preach her funeral the other day, when they came and picked me up and took me on a Jeep ride whenever I was fatherless, that spoke more to me than any message I'd heard in church up until that point in my life. I'm telling you, there's some folks that you might not never win with the gospel as far as just coming and sharing it, but if you'll be what God said to be, God will give you opportunity to live the gospel out in front of them. Amen. So the question is, what are we doing? What about those that are within? Day's going to come whenever all of our bodies are going to fail us. I'm going to be shut in and you're going to be shut in. What about folks like James and Shirley and Chet, Miss Copeland? That's the widows and those that were shut in this Bible. What are we doing for them? I want to be what God wants us to be. Do you? I mean, what this book says that we ought to be. And so there's some folks that have passed through these doors that it'd been good if we had some folks to fellowship and to follow up with them. What are we doing? I mean, this is just basic ministry. It's what Job did. That's why Job was blessed. Everybody agree with that? Now, turn with me over to the book of Exodus. Now, I want you to understand this, and I hope that it comes across this way. I hope that every word I say comes across with the love that it's intended to. But He's worthy of our best. He's worthy of us to make a difference. The Bible says that whenever Stephen preached, that they were pricked at their hearts. Stephen didn't bludgeon them. The preaching pricked them. Are you with me? I only get pricks on very rare occasions. I get pricked on my finger and I get pricked in my arm. And in both times when I get pricked, it's to draw something out. So the primary purpose of preaching is to draw something out of us that God's already got in us. You with me? Exodus chapter 18. As we look in, I said Exodus chapter, we'll look at that in Exodus chapter 35. Turn there with me quickly. I'm just about done, but we're going to turn there in just a moment. Exodus chapter 35. This is what the Bible says. In verse number 4, he said, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take you from among an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord." Verse 21, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made him willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women." In verse 24, "Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering." In chapter 36, the Bible says in verse number 5, "And they spake unto Moses, saying, The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." In verse 7, "For the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." So everything that I've talked about, would you agree with me that God has given us more than sufficient people and sufficient means to do everything on this list. Amen. Amen. The question is whether or not we're willing. I can't produce that in you. But I'll tell you this. When you think about what God's done for you, it ought to make you want to have a willing heart. I mean, it ought to make you want to have a willing heart. Bible says when they got together, their hearts stirred them up. They decided it all began to bring, and as everybody began to bring, they had not just enough, but they had too much. Wouldn't that be something for us to have too much? I want you to know this. How many of you know how Job's story ended up? Job chapter 42. God gave him twice as much. Now I want to ask you this question. Why did God give him twice as much as he did to start with? Was he doing it as a pat on the back to say, good job, Job? I find that hard to believe. Was he doing that? Did God say, because the TBN preachers have you to believe that Job got twice as much because he sold him a little seed? No. Can I tell you, God gave Job twice as much on the end, because if Job had twice as much means, who do you reckon he is going to reach? He's going to reach twice as many people. Now I want you to stop and think about this for a minute. If God, where's Anita at? Anita, how many did this church start with? 19 on the first service. 19 in 1978. 19 people under the leadership of Brother Harold Slavin and inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God started this church. There's probably 119 here this morning. Now, if God's done that, if He's done that, and He has, whatever God expected out of them with 19, you know why He's given us 119? Because He expects the good people in this church are going to take everything God's given them and going to make a difference in this community. Going to make a difference in the hospitals. Going to make a difference in the jailhouses. We're getting ready. Where'd TJ go? Hey, TJ, what night are we going out to the jailhouse? Third Saturday in January, we'll be going out to the jailhouse at 7 o'clock. We're going to put words behind and meaning behind everything in this book. You know what that means? That might mean there's some people in here that you don't feel real comfortable with. Soon as we get this bus running, there'll be some kids in here probably say some words that you don't wish your kids would hear. I just want to prepare you for it. But why are we here? So all the saved people can gather up together? Or are we here to make a difference in the lives of those that are lost? I'm going to read one more passage. I'm going to be done. Open up with me to Exodus chapter 18 now. We'll be praying about a song, and I want you to notice what this passage says. In Exodus chapter 18, the Bible said that in verse number 13, it came to pass on tomorrow, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from morning unto evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing thou doest to the people? Why settest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God.
Verse number 17, it said, "Then Moses' father-in-law said unto him, The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." I say simply this, I can't do it alone. But if God's been good to you, and you've got a willing heart, we've got all kinds of areas that need some people to say, "Brother Kevin, I'd like to be the one to go visit the nursing home, just spend time with them." We ain't just talking about the elder. I mean, these folks in this room from 7 to 70, wherever you stand, I can't be a part of it all. But praise God, our church can be a part of everything God wants to do. I know some of you probably this whole, he said, "Brother, I thought we may be going to shout her out tonight." No, I didn't have no intentions of that. I had intentions to present you the Word of God that I'll stand with at the judgment seat of Christ, knowing everything that I've charged you with and challenged you with tonight. One day, friend, you'll not stand in front of a preacher, but you'll stand in front of the God of all glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to want to know, what have you done with what He's given you? He's going to want to know that. That's the entire judgment seat of Christ. So I ask you tonight just simply, is anybody willing? Anybody willing?